blood, the sweat, and the tears of sheroes and heroes, some whose names we know and some whose names we do not know. But I'm gonna tell you something, we have been here before. Now the only difference is we got some company, Rev. We got our gay lesbian sisters and brothers with us this time. We got our Hispanic, Asian, Native American sisters and brothers with us this time. I think Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King said we may not have gotten here on the same ship, but we are in the same boat right now.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Bob and Hope, in the midst of the Me Too movement, a West Haven mom says she's really concerned about a rule that makes young kids believe that no is not an acceptable answer, especially at a school dance.
No, no, honey, you guys are misunderstanding again. That's not how it is.
When Natalie Richards' sixth grade daughter told her she couldn't say no if a boy asked her to dance at Canesville Elementary's Valentine's Day dance, she didn't believe it at first.
The teacher said, oh, well, she can't. She has to say yes. She has to accept. And I said, excuse me?
So Natalie took her concerns to the school principal.
He basically just said, you know, that they've been doing this, they've had this dance set up this way for a long time and they've never had any concerns before.
Lane Finley with the Weber School District confirms it's a rule, but it's meant to teach students how to be inclusive.
Please be respectful, be polite. We want to promote kindness, and so we want you to say yes when somebody asks you to dance.
I do see it from their perspective when it comes to that, but there are many other ways to teach children how to be accepting than with a social dance.
Natalie says forcing students not to say no teaches them the wrong lesson.
Sends a bad message to girls that girls have to say yes. Sends a bad message to boys that girls will, they can't say no.
Prior to the dance, which is voluntary, students are told to fill out a card selecting five people they want to dance with. And the administration says if there's someone on the card you feel uncomfortable with, the student is encouraged to speak up.
If there is an issue, if there's students that are uncomfortable or have a problem with another student, I mean, that's certainly something that can be addressed with that student and parents.
But Natalie says rejection is part of life, and at the end of the day, this policy is sending impressionable children the wrong message.
Psychologically, my daughter keeps coming to me and saying, I can't say no to a boy. That's the message kids are getting.
One of the concerns that Natalie addressed with the principal at Canesville is that parents weren't aware of this policy. She recommended that he send out a permission slip detailing the instructions given to students, and he agreed. But as of now, the rule remains in place. Reporting live from the newsroom, I'm Dora Scheidel, Fox 13 News, Utah.
That's nice. All right. WineCellarMedia.com. 3:54 a.m. Tuesday before work, doing the Monday episode. Phoenix Cleater here. Follow on the Twitters at Uppity Negress. 2 P's, 2 T's, 2 S's. Follow me if you feel like it. You're gonna get Facebook autoload posts and autoload posts from the website. I think I made a tweet like a week ago.
A-hole tweet.
I think I retweeted something. I think I retweeted something from the new Imani Gandhi hustle. It's very slick. I find it very interesting. All right. So, fucking... Yeah, that's what they're doing down at that school. Girls can't say no. Boys expect girls not to be able to say no. And that principal guy, that Steve Buscemi-looking motherfucker, well, he's just like, well, yeah, we've been doing it for a long time. Yes, yes, fucking misogyny and patriarchy, you've been doing that for a long time.
Yep, especially in Mormon country, too. Yeah.
Oh, it's Utah.
It's Utah.
It's fucking Utah. The only thing that they have remotely associated to blackness is a basketball team that they just call Jazz.
Yeah, that was a weird name, I think. Like,
they said Negroes, Jazz, right?
Like, are many Jazz players from Utah? I don't know.
Like, if basketball was 50 years earlier, they'd have called them the Utah Blues.
Oh, shit.
Guaranteed.
Well, it's a good thing it didn't happen in the 90s. They would have been what? The Utah rappers, the hip hoppers.
Yep, yeah, the Utah rap. They would be actually. That would be the name of the group. And if it was now, what, the Utah trap? If it was the early 2000s, the Utah crunk. Just whatever was the popular word to associate with the blacks. The Utah crunk.
Ooh, Mormons are fun.
Fucking Mormons. Mormons are like fucking orthodox white people.
I mean...
Or is there another group that is the orthodoxy of white people?
Well, that's the thing. Every subgroup has their own orthodoxy.
Ah.
Yeah, because there's, you know, like, orthodox Catholics, there's orthodox, you know, Lutherans and Baptists and...
But which ones are the whitest?
Which ones are the whitest?
Might be that whole Aryan Brotherhood thing, because, like, you showed me some of the shit that they actually think is real, like, their spiritual shit.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, oh, they're just bro-teps. Like,
they have, like, their own version of the Bible, and it literally says, like, race mixing is a sin against God because God did not make the races at the same time because he didn't want them to be around each other and shit.
They're confusing time and place. Those are two different things, man. Woo.
I was going to give it to Baptists, but you know what? Maybe they take it. Because I was going to say, I think the Baptists that the women have to wear skirts, and evangelicals too, where the women have to wear skirts and you're not allowed to dance, and I was like, that's very, very white. Like, they don't want to have rhythm. Because you can't dance, man.
That's a mean statement. That's like that video that's going around right now on the Facebooks of white people at the Florida Gators basketball game. No, football, right?
Yeah.
It was Florida Gators. And yeah, like, they're doing this dance and no one seems to be in sync with anyone else.
Oh my god, is it like that, those college boys? You saw the one where, like, they were doing some frat shit? And it's, I don't know what, if, like, it was white people stepping or something, and not a single one is in, rhythm and coordination with a single other one, and it's an entire group, and they're wearing matching outfits, and they're all doing the same dance, it appears they're from the same fraternity, but everyone marches to the beat of his own drummer.
Yeah, like, that's all disagree. True liberty. Yeah, like, white people are like libertarian dancers. And you're all... You're supposed to be dancing together. Remember, you can't say no to dancing together.
Man, yeah, white people are such individualists, they can't even do a team dance.
I don't want to pull up another piece of audio. That guy from the old clip, the sackcloth and ashes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, no.
I mean, this kind of shit, this is why we have the extended trigger warning at the beginning of the program.
Oh, God. I can only begin to imagine what is about to come out of his mouth.
All right, ooh. So how am I going to funky this up? Gonna have to do it like this.
Sports tends to focus on the body. And I think we need to understand this as well. There is an infatuation with the body. And this is the way it was with the Greeks as well. They become very interested in the body. And, of course, the sexual aspect of the body as well. And some sports encourage immodesty. revealing large portions of the body. And this happens in some sports. So these are the risky sports. Mm-hmm. Here they are. What are the risky sports? Gymnastics. Gymnastics, swimming.
That's right. This is Kevin Swanson, the sackcloth and ashes guy, talking about the Larry Nassar case.
Whew.
Yep. Listen to this white Christian man go.
Sir, these are the sports in which there is an added risk. And again, friends, I'm laying this out for you. Why are all of the gymnasts more of a risk than other sports? In fact, the Indy Star did an article just last year. You might remember this article. It was an expose on this very thing. And it was these news articles concerning gymnastics that I think got some of this to the surface. By the providence of God, now I'm thankful that some of this sin is coming to the surface because, you know, at some point, God is not going to put up with 20 years of this. And he's going to pull the trigger. The civil magistrate won't. The media will, because by the sovereignty of God, he's going to bring this thing to the surface. I'm thankful he did. The Indy Star was the first, one of the first newspapers to address this. They found, get this, 368 gymnasts who were molested. Do you really want your daughters involved in a sport that involves a fair amount of immodesty, in which red-blooded American male coaches are interacting with these girls? Or, worse yet, where the infatuation of the body eventually affects the lesbian coaches.
I don't even know where, like, he just had to throw the homophobia in there.
Had to.
Yeah, like, so the men can't help it. They're red-blooded American men.
Uh-huh.
They can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you don't want your daughter involved. It's not about get the men out of it.
Right.
Just get the girls. Keep the men.
I mean, of course, the underlying issue is, he's like, well, it's immodest. It's immodest. It's immodest. Like, cool victim-blaming story, bro. But also, part of the reason that gymnastics has historically been, had an issue with people who are pedophiles is because it's gymnastics. It's not because of the clothes. It's because of the way, the athletes train. Like, gymnasts are tiny people. I'm not sure if people are aware of that. Most gymnasts are like under 5'5", even as, you know, when they're done growing. They're very petite, and the way that they train makes them look younger because they don't have what is stereotypically assumed to be like female curves because they train so hard. It's been an issue for a long time with gymnastics, but saying it's because they're immodest, what? They're fucking 15-year-old girls. Like, get the fuck over that shit and actually address the problem. But no, they're red-blooded men. And apparently red-blooded men are attracted to children, is really what just happened.
Yep. So the rest of us are Crips, I guess? Where's he going with me? Well, you know what? Not where is he going with this. He went there.
Oh, I think that was the whole thing, was blaming the... just re-establishing the good old-fashioned Christian way of blaming victims instead of the actual perpetrators.
No, because good red-blooded men, I don't know.
In all honesty, that's a very, like, Old Testament Christian kind of thing, right? Because that was when God... yeah, fuck these niggas over here. B, go over there and kill them all, except for the virgins. Keep them for yourselves. So, like, you know, yeah, the whole take a 15-year-old and have sex with her is not new. Like, that is very red-blooded Christian, maybe we should say, instead of red-blooded American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go over to fucking Arizona.
Oh, great. Well, this can't go well.
It can't go Arizona.
Oh, man. Arizona, it's just like Florida with more sand.
God, and way the fuck hotter, right? Like, Arizona's
is
like
one
place. Isn't Arizona one place where you can, like, fucking die?
I thought you could do that in Florida, too.
Yeah, but that's from, like, alcohol and meth.
You know, funny story. I was actually in Arizona a few years ago, and I was slow. I didn't get it. I couldn't figure out why the hotel I was staying at had two hot tubs. And then I finally figured out they were not both hot tubs. One of them was supposed to be the regular pool. It was just that goddamn hot out. And there was that much sun outside that the regular pool literally felt like a warm bath. Yeah, I think that was the thing. It was, there was like no clouds and then straight sun. And it was like, oh, it's like 105 degrees out every day.
And the just coming off of azcentral.com article put up, author of the article is, there it is, Kala White. All right, so the Arizona legislature is considering a bill that would provide incarcerated women with an unlimited supply of feminine hygiene products. Hey, that might be useful. So, currently, incarcerated women automatically get 12 free pads a month. They must ask an officer if they need more, and they may possess up to 24 at a time. Unlike in other states, if they want tampons, they must buy them. Former prisoners and advocates say that's not acceptable. Arizona has one state prison that houses women. And the Arizona State Prison Complex, Perryville in Goodyear, is about 30 minutes west of downtown Phoenix. About 4,000 women were imprisoned in Arizona as of November 2017, according to an Arizona Department of Corrections report. The bill passed its first hurdle this week, narrowly winning approval from the all-male House military. But for women in prison to get tampons, the all-male House military needs to approve of it, and that's just one hurdle.
Man, niggas better hope I never get locked up for shit. I will bleed all over every fucking thing there is. I don't give a fuck. Like, I will get my white feminist straight the fuck on, nigga.
Make a painting.
Make a painting.
I remember that.
Bleed on some children's heads.
Yeah, there you go, boy. That's your little brother right there. Fucking Veterans and Regulatory Affairs Committee. Several dissenting members, and they were doubtful a problem exists.
Really? Wow, it's almost like when you don't have a vagina, you don't know how one works.
What? You put penises in them.
Uh huh.
Usually like three, I think.
Three at a time.
Man, I don't got to work out the logistics yet. Whew. Still got our engineering department on it. Fucking. Numerous women testified how humiliating and frustrating the current situation is. Quote, bloodstained pants, bartering and begging for pads and tampons was a regular occurrence. End quote. Said Adriana Kitchen said of her 6 years in Perryville. Gee, what's the bartering with the male guards? Because men are allowed to work in women's prisons. Remember, that's a thing. The average menstruation lasts 2 to 7 days, according to the Mayo Clinic, and happens every 21 to 35 days. Most hygiene product companies advise changing a pad or a tampon every 6 hours to prevent odor and infection. If a woman has an average menstruation of 5 days and follows guidelines to change her pad or tampon every 6 hours, she would need 20 pads or tampons per period. Some women experience heavy menstruation and require more.
I was about to say, that's 20, huh? That's fucking cute.
Yeah. Remember that line from that movie Mean Girls? I have a, what she said? I have a heavy flow and a wide-set vagina.
Yeah, the struggle is real.
Like that's the line. Like, I think I was like 20 when I heard that line. So like, I laughed and then I was like, is that real? I go, that's probably real. Like, so they didn't write that line for no reason.
Yeah, I don't know about the wide set vagina part, but the heavy flow is, that is a struggle for the ages.
Fucking, now, skippy doop doop. Separate from the health risks, a woman doesn't have enough pads or tampons will likely end up bleeding on her clothes. And $3.99 box of tampons costs 27 hours of work. 27 nigga.
Jesus, so you have to work for 27 hours to get one box of, they don't say what brand, so that might not even be enough. Like, it could be like a 20 count box.
Yeah, it's fucking toilet paper wrapped up in a rubber band.
Alright, probably.
Fucking Representative Athena Solomon, Democrat of Tempe, introduced House Bill 2222. In our prison, quote, in our prison system, A 16 count of Always Ultra Thin Long Pads costs $3.20, end quote. Base pay for prisoners starts at 15 cents per hour, which means a pack of pads would require about 21 hours of work. A 20-count box of Playtex Super Gentle Glide tampons is $3.99. So a woman who wants to who wants tampons and uses one box per period would have to work up to 27 hours to cover the cost of her own menstruation. Solomon, remember the Democrat of Tempe, said that she was inspired by a Colorado law that passed last year that allocated $40,000 to give female inmates free tampons. All the billions and millions passed around and tossed around. They had to battle and argue about that. It's like less than their salary.
That's less than their fucking stipends. Yeah, I don't know if you know this. A lot of states, your lawmakers get individual stipends on top of their base salary for, like, food and travel and gas money and shit. Yeah, especially if they're on a committee. That's why they have so many fucking committees. Is because they get committee stipends as part of the committee budget. So yeah, somebody who's already a millionaire and is making $100,000 a year gets an additional stipend for food to sit on a committee with a bunch of other millionaires making $100,000 a year.
And then they gotta sit down and say, I don't know, man, 40,000.
Woo. Tampons? What?
Dude, that's 1,040 times.
It is 1,040 times.
It's 40 a thousand times. That's like even more if you look at it that way.
It's a lot.
In order to cover the cost of additional products, her bill would appropriate $80,000 from the state's general fund to the Arizona Department of Corrections, a number Solomon said she calculated because the state has twice as many women in prison as Colorado. Really, the show me your papers state. The Perryville warden, her name is Kim Currier, she testified that in the past 7.5 months, the prison has spent about $33,000 on pads. So less than half of what the Solomon is projecting. Excuse me. Now, the Department of Corrections has taken a neutral position on the bill, a standard position for a state agency on proposed legislation. Neutral. Centrism.
I just want to know how risk of health problems, infection, stained clothes, and public humiliation is neutral as a stance. What's that saying when you neutrality only helps the oppressor?
Oof! Oh yeah. If you sit on the fence, you side with the oppressor because they own the fence. Correct. All right, now, Bubba Doop, skip my flip. Wait, I think I almost skipped a paragraph, did I? Yeah. All right, neutral position on the bill, a standard. Currier did share her thoughts. Remember, Currier is the warden. Currier did share her thoughts on the issue during the committee hearing. Quote, I'm not aware that there's a problem with this. Damn, you're the warden.
Shouldn't you know if there's a problem with this? Shouldn't you investigate?
You're the warden.
Oh, well, she probably makes enough to buy her own goddamn tampons. That's all that matters.
But then again, when you're the boss, you don't have to know how your business is running. Hillary Clinton doesn't have to know that there's a sexual harassment rapist on her team.
Except that she did know.
What? She knew, but she did. Hillary Clinton didn't know that people have memories. I swear that's how she lives her life. Like, Hillary Clinton she actively decided that cameras, recordings, those don't exist, and memories also don't exist. I can do whatever the fuck I want, and no one will ever remember. That's how Hillary Clinton functions.
I'd have to say that that's not just Hillary Clinton, that's a lot of politicians.
Huh, probably.
Yeah.
But she put herself out there. That's what I mean. It's like, Hillary Clinton is not a... She's not a victim of anything. She's a fucking millionaire.
Whoa. All these opinion pieces saying Hillary needs to leave are sexist, sir. They are inherently misogynistic because nobody ever says male politicians should just leave.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm like. Like, I'm like, man, like, I want that voice in the bully pulpit but I don't want to watch Bernie Sanders croak on Inauguration Day.
Oh, God.
Like, he just gets too excited.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man, I don't want to see that motherfucker try to run again. I don't even want to associate the word run with his old body. Fuck no. Like, nah, nigga, just go hang out in the Senate and yell at Alan Greenspan some more.
Go yell at Alan Greenspan.
Scooby-Doo. All right, so she doesn't know there's a problem with this. Civil rights lawyer Kristen Eidenbach. Said that,
Hold on. You missed the next sentence.
Oh, wait. I'm not aware there's a problem. She said in part because there are few formal reports from inmates about this being a problem. Well, oh, they have to fill out formal reports.
They have to fill out formal reports that there's a problem because they had to barter with male guards to get tampons.
Gee, okay. And when they fill out that formal report, don't worry, you don't have to worry about those male guards retaliating on them when they have keys to their cell at night.
No.
The fuck, man.
And then, of course, they already said a bunch of inmates came forward to say it was a fucking problem. Bitch, they told you it was a problem!
But it wasn't formal, they didn't curtsy.
They didn't curtsy. It was curtsy.
Yes, where's your bridesmaid's dress?
In the dumpster, because there's period blood on it.
Nah, they can't flip those shit away. You just call that a new pattern. It's the Chinese flag. Fuck them. So this civil rights lawyer, Kirsten, I read that wrong the first time, Kirsten Eidenbach, said that because inmates have recently found it more difficult to contact the ACLU of Arizona and are afraid of retaliation. Check that
out. Wow, if only we could have seen it coming.
Why do we even comment? Like, typically, the next thing we're thinking is in the article. Here comes a quote. Our recent tour to Perryville leads us to believe that this is very much still an issue, she said, adding that women with endometriosis, or just a heavy flow, sometimes use 5 pads at once to cope.
Yeah, it's fucking real, man.
Holy shit, man. We're gonna go ahead and link this, and I have the link, and link it with the show notes so you fucking muckers can check this out from azcentral.com. Alright, go over to the fire department right here.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
A man who's been convicted of...
Oh, yeah.
There's some guy who's a firefighter who follows Reading in the Shade and just shows up to argue with shit. I'm gonna turn him into an SJW, goddammit.
Or at least he claims to be a firefighter, unless you looked at his profile.
Oh, I looked at his profile, he is.
Ah. Alright. Alright, the fucking retired firefighter probably. Like, you gotta wonder.
He's young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet he's a fucking libertarian.
Probably.
Yeah.
Which is weird that you have a socialist-ass job.
Exactly. No, but he earned it. You didn't.
Right.
Let me take a look at that.
What are we looking at? Oh, we're looking at decibels.
Yeah, take that way down. Yeah, that jumped up a little belligerently.
A man who's been convicted of sexually assaulting a 4-year-old girl has been selected as the fire chief in a small town near Erie. Roger Gilbert Jr. was sentenced to 5 to 10 years in prison 17 years ago. Even so, the Spartanburg Volunteer Fire Department re-elected.
So that's going on.
Oh, I mean, the important thing is to know that white privilege doesn't exist, and that's how a white man who sexually abuses a toddler can get hired to be a fire chief while fucking niggas who sell weed can't get a job after they get out of jail.
That's because white people shall overcome. Trump supporters were singing themselves a little song. You won't hear him sing it.
You mean overcome or overcome?
Ma'am.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome.
And there's a black dude there watching. I think he's very light-skinned.
I'm not claiming him.
And he talks. No, he talks about it. I think he's a stand-up comedian.
Oh, that's
basically what I saw. Was the Trump people? They were standing on Sproul Plaza, which in Berkeley University terms is sort of like the bastion of free speech. And that's where people get it. And they're standing there with their with their Trump hats on, mostly white. Sorry, right? And they're standing there linking arms, right, singing civil rights songs. We shall overcome, right? And you do kind of think like, okay, you can't have that struggle. I'm sorry, you can't have that. I don't have Martin Luther King struggle. You can't have that. We'll lend you the fist, like, but you can't have that. You can't sing slave songs next. You can't do it. Talking about the fucking railroads. You can't have it.
That's right. They shall over. Did you know how oppressed they are?
Yeah, white people are really oppressed in this country.
How unfair it is.
They've had like almost every president. They own pretty much all the Fortune 500 companies. They are the majority of lawmakers, judges, police, fire departments, emergency services. Millionaires, billionaires, homeowners. Yes. It's really hard to be white sometimes.
Yep, and it's easy to be a black trans woman like Tanya Harvey, shot in Buffalo, New York. This story has actually been getting more traction than I thought it would. Tanya Harvey, 35-year-old transgender individual, was fatally shot on Tuesday last week in Buffalo, New York. In what is at least the third homicide of a transgender person in the United States so far this year that we know of. In January, trans activist Krista Lee Steele Nudslian was killed in North Adams, Massachusetts. Later that month, Vicky Gutierrez in Los Angeles. And now Buffalo News reported that Harvey's death is the first confirmed this year in Buffalo that they know of, a city of 256,000 people. Now, according to a media post by friends, Harvey also went by the nickname Keita. One friend wrote on Facebook on Wednesday, not only was she beautiful, she was strong. Everything she put her mind to, she did it, and with conviction. Rest in peace, Keita, a.k.a. Tanya Harvey. She was murdered this week. She was so sweet and loving, end quote. Initial reports by the Buffalo police, guess what? Misgendered Harvey.
No.
Buffalo police spokesperson. They actually put spokesperson, but this is Mike.com, though. Spokesperson. Where am I? Michael J. DeGeorge. Told Mike on Tuesday that the investigation into Harvey's death was, quote, in the very early stages. Police are looking at some possible early leads, end quote. At least 25 homicides of transgender women were reported in 2017 that we know of. And what they're positing here is that transgender people make up just 0.6% of the U.S. population. According to a 2016 estimate, but trans people, especially trans women of color, faced disproportionately high rates of fatal violence.
Don't tell Rose McGowan.
Nope. Well, Rose McGowan is a black transgender woman. And purple.
And purple, too.
Yeah.
Why do they always go to purple? That is such a weird default. They're like, polka dots, or blue, or purple, or orange stripes. Like, nigga, you can't say things people actually are. You just gotta start making up shit.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is purple, nigga?
And then, of course, there's somebody out there that's like, you see somebody so dark, they're not black, they're blurple. It's like, nah, they're still black. You know? Let's get it on. Still black.
Yes, they are. I don't like people.
All right, let's see. Boobadoo-doo-doo. Ah, police issue a warning. After a two-time rapist is released from jail. You see, in William's world, where I'm global dictator, you don't have to issue these warnings. You don't even have to have the jail to put them in. That would be converted to a fucking learning center or something. And you just kill them. Like, you have to issue a warning where it's just like, all right, everybody, Anglo-American jurisprudence says two-time rapist out again. Enjoy. Oh, and not only this, but let's, this is only podcast audio, but it's like a normal white guy.
Yeah.
Looks like
I mean, most of them do just look like normal people.
Damn near full head of hair. He's only receding a little bit. Right? He's, he looks like he's the manager at an advanced auto parts.
I was gonna say construction worker.
Construction.
Or maybe like a general contractor.
General contractor.
Yeah.
Or just the general. This article's put up by Tamara Baluha, a staff reporter at TheStar.com. Two-time convicted rapist who police say is at high risk to offend, to re-offend, has been released after serving his complete jail time. Toronto, oh, this is up north up there. Toronto Police Constable Megan Gray warned the public that Ronald Peter Tabano, 46-year-old individual, will be living in Toronto after his release from prison on Thursday. The Behavioral Assessment Section of the Toronto Police Service Sex Crimes Unit assessed Ronald Tabano as a high risk to reoffend. Mm. That's why we release him. Okay. Mm. Tabando had been sentenced to 20 years for sexual assault, aggravated sexual assault, forcible confinement, and assault causing bodily harm.
Wait, so he didn't just rape somebody, he kidnapped somebody. Forcible confinement?
Yep. Fucking nice language. Alright. In 1980, he attacked two women in underground parking garages in Toronto. Walk with your keys in between your fingers. There's probably a man listening. You want to tell him why?
You walk with a key between your fingers, so when strange men come up to you, you can punch them in the face, and your keys are already out, and hopefully you'll gouge out their eyes and make it home alive.
Yep. And then you'll get charged because his DNA is on you, and you get pulled over, and the cop says, why is there blood on your hand? And then they're like, hey, some guy just went to the hospital with his cell. He got attacked. What? You attacked that man. Throw that woman in prison, where she has to now negotiate with male guards for tampons. It's called rape culture. This is a horrible... I get why people listen to the podcast. But then again, I'm also like, does it not ruin your fucking day?
I mean, we try to make it as entertaining as possible, but I think it's good to be informed.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's just like, I don't know, kind of like a confirmation bias. Like, it's good to know somebody else is as pissed off about this bullshit as you are.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just me seeing this and being angry alone. Let's be angry together, y'all.
Or just to hear the putting things together, right? Like I just, and I don't know if that story that I just made up ever happened, but that's a logical conclusion of what would happen. Because the thing is, right, if he's coming up and, like, he's running at you, he's a man, you're a woman, therefore you've probably been raped before, and you're like, oh, here this comes again, and you go for the keys, you get that on there. Yes, now his DNA is on you. And now he's down on the ground. Somebody walked up, said, oh my goodness, this man has been hurt. What thug did this? And then fucking say you get pulled over because you didn't signal or some shit. And there you go. Now you're charged.
I think that a big part of that conversation, too, is that women are constantly... being nagged at and harped on, just non-male people in general, for assuming the worst of men, right? So if a random man comes up to you and you have your keys and you get them, then that's on you because you just assumed he was going to rape you. You can't just assume bad things about men. But then if you didn't get him with the keys and he did rape you, then it's your fault because you didn't protect yourself.
Yeah, what? Didn't you know men are dangerous? We just issued a warning for one. It's always your fault. And 1993, this same individual, Ronald Peter Tabando, while he was in prison, he assaulted a female staff member and forcibly confined another in the same incident.
What the hell, man? And see, now this, you know what? I'm going to tweet about this story because I said I was supporting prison abolition and everything, but the rapist will be out. And I was like, nigga, the rapist is already out. Like, I don't know if you know how our criminal justice system works, but you are not safe because the fucking serial killers and the rapists and the whoever is already fucking out of prison.
The rapist raped in prison and they said, yeah, he should be back out there. Why? Because he served his full time. Wait, shouldn't he? Fuck it.
Yeah, I was about to say, shouldn't he have caught more charges?
And, like, had that, and just give him fucking life. Like, clearly this is a fucking lizard, man.
Because that's, what, four women now. And, of course, as we say in the wine cellar, most offenders are
fucking
repeat offenders.
Every rapist is a serial rapist. The bloody lot of them. Ah, Jesus Christ. Police raid New Orleans strip clubs and strippers respond with protests in the streets.
Jesus, save me.
Yeah, I snatched this up. Is this a sex worker's rights story?
This is a sex worker's rights story. So, as y'all remember, I have a bitter hatred of Kamala Harris because she got Backpage shut down for a minute and really spearheaded this, like, end demand and end human trafficking thing. And so since Backpage, there have been a ton of crackdowns on raids, on strip clubs, private massage parlors, you know, low-key undercover brothels, all that sort of thing. And these are supposed to be, this is the thing, is they're being disingenuous with the framing in the news media. These things are supposed to be done to be saving traffic victims, right? That's why police are getting these funds to bust these strip clubs and whatever. It's to save traffic victims. Not a none single human trafficking victim is getting pulled out of these raids. It's just harassing sex workers and arresting them and getting them catching prostitution charges.
You realize when they finally do get one, they are gonna fucking Malala her. Okay, folks, well, may not get that reference. The Muslim girl that got shot in the face on the school bus by Taliban, one of them niggas. Mm. And yeah, they're gonna Malala her. They are gonna parade her motherfucking ass around so damn much she's gonna commit suicide.
No, they won't.
Nah?
No.
Why
if
not?
Because if they find one, they're not gonna tell anybody.
Why?
Because in order to find one, you would have to have arrested her and then determined whether or not she is a victim, which is a process. And in that process, you are arrested, you are charged, you are coerced into saying you are a victim, and then you have to go to a re-education camp, quite literally. And the thing is that if they came out with trafficking victims and actually put them out there, the victims would say, yeah, they arrested me and threatened me with charges if I didn't do their alternative camp thing. So all they will say periodically is, oh, we found one. But they don't say who.
Oh, you don't have to say who. Just fucking dig up the rubble of that that factory that collapsed. You gotta, maybe they had an old ID card.
But she died with dignity.
That references to a story I covered in the wine cellar before I even knew Phoenix. Way old story I covered in the wine cellar of a factory that collapsed. And then Phoenix is telling me more about, because I was like already into sex workers' rights, but I was still calling it prostitution. And then Phoenix was telling me about sex workers' rights. And like somehow, like, she got to that, like, that story because she was like, yeah, that's where a lot of them end up, is in these factory sweatshops. And then when those places burned down and collapsed, and I was like, wait a second, there's a story from 2013. Mm-hmm. And then I fucking found the old article, and she was like, that's it. Yeah, there was fucking, there were sex workers in there.
Yes, because that's what they do, is they show up and do brothel raids. And then, of course, like, because they bring cameras and police, and there's the threat of arrest, and now your shit is public, and you basically have been doxxed. And so now they say, sex work has no dignity. The only way to maintain dignity is to have a real job. And then you go work in a garment factory for 18 hours a day making, I don't know, Nikes or Ivanka Trump's clothing line. And then because they do not have the safety regulations and the labor rights, because it is a sweatshop, when shit goes wrong and the building collapses or the buildings, you know, catch on fire or the equipment injures you, you just die. And then the people who put you there will say, but she died with dignity.
Yeah. And what else is also going on is this is an extortion story. Looking at the story on Think Progress about the strip club raids. Because they're saying there's lewd acts and drug abuse. And, but the paragraph ends with this. The clubs will pay fines between $5,000 and $7,500. It's an extortion story.
Of course it is. It's just a really anti-sex thing. Which, I mean, is the thing. It's gonna, you know, I actually made a couple Twitter threads about this recently. And this is what's happening, is they're starting to push more and more for the anti-porn, anti-sex work thing. And I think that people aren't paying attention to it because we're sort of accustomed to having things a certain way. But I would remind everybody that centrist Democrats are pretty fucking conservative. Conservatives are very fucking conservative. And the extreme conservatives are, well, extreme conservatives. And there's going to be a lot of just anti-sexuality stuff happening. And that's going to include crackdowns on sex workers, on strip clubs, on porn, on anything that's seen as immoral as a way to police people's sexuality. So that's happening.
I'm actually, I'm going to save this Becky Lives Matter story. I have a Becky Lives Matter story coming up, but I'm going to fucking save it for the next episode. And I want to go to a different Becky Lives Matter story. The one that I'm skipping for now is about the news reporter that was screaming the N-word at somebody, and she got suspended.
I like that we have an entire choice of Becky Lives Matter stories. That's fun.
There's a lot of them.
There are.
They keep doing stuff.
They do. White people need to sit down.
Hey, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Introvert.
Introvert who?
Fucking liar, get off my property. You're not knock knocking if you're an introvert, you goddamn liar.
Although, you're not an introvert, you're a hermit, and there is a difference.
Ah, this is the one I wanted. I posted this to my Facebook page, William J. Jackson. Alright, now we're going on over to the Bronx. And most teachers were born to... this is clearly... who wrote this? All right, Kate Anslinger wrote this for AWM, .com. And most teachers were born to educate, and they often credit their own students for inspiration. In today's educational system... teachers have many ways of providing lessons for their students by using real-life examples. And creativity is certainly a trait that serves educators well. Unfortunately, one teacher in the Bronx took her real-world experience a step too far.
That's funny. That's funny. I see you.
A step too far. And in an attempt to teach her middle school class about the horrors of slavery, she did a big no-no and called upon the black kids in the class to use them as an example. That's how far gentrification has gone. You have to find the black kids in the class in the Bronx. The black kids in the class to use them as an example. Middle school 118 teacher Patricia Cummings, Becky Lives Matter, is in the spotlight for some major scrutiny as she asked the black kids in her classroom to lie down on the floor during a social studies lesson geared towards slavery. The unit in particular was on the middle passage when Africans were kidnapped back to McMurrica as part of the slave trade, the transatlantic trade. As if that wasn't enough, Patricia Cummings proceeded to step on the black students' backs to show them exactly what slavery felt like.
Nigga, why you gotta tell us? Step on the fucking white kids.
She knows what she's doing, man.
Does she?
She's white.
Uh-huh.
They know. She went to college.
Okay.
Right? And you know how college turns you into a PC liberal SJW? So you become a teacher and step on black kids to show them what slavery felt like. Students were traumatized by the alleged lesson. Alleged. All right. That occurred more than one time in different classes. The population of the middle school where Cummings teaches is only 3% white, 81% black, and Hispanic. Damn, so what? She just fucking lined up hella black. Gentrification didn't go that far. So she just lined up a bunch of black kids.
Yeah.
and just played bridge.
Basically.
Like, she was just like, the floor is lava. She played the floor is lava with black kids' backs. Okay. All right, worst chiropractor ever.
Yes.
The offensive lesson drummed up a whole lot of criticism from students, parents, and fellow faculty members. Quote, it was a lesson about slavery and the triangle trade, end quote, said an anonymous student from one of Cummings' classes. She picked three of the black kids and instructed them to get on the floor in front of the class. She said, quote, you see how it was to be a slave. How does it feel?
Dude, she went home and masturbated after this. I guarantee fucking to you.
Yeah, she is a fucking, it's like Jafar. Like, this is a comic book Disney villain. According to the student, when one of the girls was lying on the floor, she made an uncomfortable joke and said she felt fine, and Cummings proceeded to step on her back. Following the lesson, the students were shown a film that shows slaves being beaten, tortured, and thrown over the side of a ship.
Okay, which is the thing, though. So, if they have the video where they can literally see people being beaten and thrown off a ship, what the fuck you gotta stand on niggas for? They can clearly see how bad it is.
What if... feels like, not what it looks like. Jeez.
I just want to know what she's going to do for, like, President's Day. Is she going to let the white kids, like, rape the black kids? Like, what's going to happen? Like, they going to play Thomas Jefferson? Like, what are they going to do?
I don't know. That'd be an interesting thread to have in the social networks. Like, what does she do per lesson? Following the lesson, quote, she had students, like, on the floor. This is a quote from another student. She had students, like, on the floor. She was measuring the length and width to show how little space slaves had on the ship. It was strange, end quote. Ew, it does sound like she's an SJW gone too far. Like, it sounds like, I guarantee you, she probably went back in some fucking Facebook group and said, guess what I did?
I'm still sticking with villain, man.
Villain?
Yeah.
That's because she's white. Most things white people do, they go too far.
Yeah, I don't, because you have to know it's going to make the kids uncomfortable. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, but they have to know, man. It's saviorism,
people,
man.
Black people understand what oppression feels like. Make the white people get it.
I am by showing them what I'm doing to the black kids.
And then, of course, you notice these fucking stories always come up in relation to slavery. I was just trying to show them how bad slavery was. What? Go fucking chase some white girls around and threaten to drown them. Play Salem Witch Trials.
Hmm.
Like, where the fuck is that? Go fucking, what? Your last name sounds Jewish. Go fucking play Spanish Inquisition.
She worked in the city schools since 2016 and was removed from her class for a couple of days after the incident, but then returned. She was again reassigned to a post that was away from children, according to the city's educational department, so she still got to have the job. I disagree with Neely Fuller a lot. But on this one, the white person didn't get fired, she got transferred. Still disagree with Neely Fuller
and
a lot.
Still a job that has a pension plan attached to it.
Well, yeah, because the kid's parents should have to continue to pay her. Taxes. No taxation without representation.
Yeah, clearly the black kids are being well represented here.
All black people are being well represented. You had Obama. quote, while the investigation has not been completed, these are deeply disturbing allegations, and the alleged behavior has no place in our schools or society. That's a quote from Education Department spokeswoman, Toya Holness. Yep. You're having a good time.
Ugh.
What, you're not having a good time?
Ugh.
You're not having a blast.
All I'm saying is I want them to start playing Crusades and Spanish Inquisition and Potato Famine or whatever the fuck else white people be doing to each other.
Play Potato Famine. No lunch today.
I'm dead ass serious, though. they constantly, because we have covered a lot of stories. Like, if we fucking covered, there's this one where they're standing on the black kids. There was one where they, like, went on a field trip and they were chasing the black kids through the woods because they were runaway slaves. They're playing runaway slave. There's one where they damn near lynched a girl. Like, fucking do this shit to each other. Y'all fucking do heinous ass shit to each other all the time.
I forgot about that. Wasn't that like a Christian school where they chased them around?
Yeah. I'm dead ass. So go fucking play potato famine. Go tell the white kids they don't get to eat today.
But we're racist. You don't get, that's the real reason why we do all these things. We're racist.
Like, oh, go fucking play witch trials and shit, nigga. Go.
One day, a whole bunch of them are finally just gonna say, just like, look, dude, we're racist as fuck, man. We just are, and we embrace it now.
They're never gonna say that.
Interraciality.
They're never gonna say it.
All right, and with that done, I have barely any time to get this uploaded and then get to work and go work in a machine room that's not my fucking machine room. I don't know what they're trying to pull here. All right, paypal.me/PhoenixandWilliam, patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. And this week, the Black Panther film, I still have a fucking calendar on January, I never use it. This week, that Black Panther film comes out.
Yes.
And us getting there the first day or the second day really hinges on if I'm doing two consecutive 12-hour shifts or not. Like, if I'm out at regular time Thursday and going in at regular time Friday, like Thursday morning, I'll just put clothes in the car that I can change into and then fucking flip my gear and then fucking go straight to the theater.
Mm-hmm. Wait, do we really want to go on a Thursday night, though?
Yeah.
All right.
We're in the suburbs and it's Black Panther. It's going to be like three other black people and two white women that are in a Facebook group. Yeah. It is. It's going to be two white women that are from the Facebook group, Atheist Feminist.
Atheist Feminist.
Yeah, because it's one of those groups that, like, started out white, but then, like, got black and intersectionalized, and then the white women who remained in there, they feel mad woke. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. Remember when we were in the Proud Mary and there were two white women in there?
Yeah.
I guarantee you they're in one of those groups.
That's funny. Okay, because I was in a white group, and as it started getting more intersectional, all the white people just left. And then the moderator, like, deleted the group, or the admin deleted the group because there were too many black people.
Ugh.
Like, how dare you talk about racism in this feminist space?
No, at least not talk about it the way I want to. You talk about racism, that means you're talking about Republicans, and that's it.
That's it.
All right, paypal.me/PhoenixandWilliam, patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Remember, all you folks that hit up the PayPal and the Patreon, that shit actually matters. Like, because we're halfway through February now. March, April, May, June. And Phoenix is out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that fucking job. And we're off to another apartment. She's completely away from these ass faces.
And maybe by then I'll actually be healthy too.
Yeah, getting healthier.
That'd be cool. I've been like sick for 2 weeks. It's trash. I hate it.
Yeah, and then next season we'll take some, I don't know, like, don't get the flu preventative measures.
Okay.
Yeah. I got some ideas. All right, we got to get the hell out of here. I got to go to fucking work. It's fucking 4:47. But it didn't snow last night, so it's okay to leave at like 5:10.
Yes.
All right. Have a good one.